We've heard some news today, haven't we, about the England and Nottinghamshire batsman James Taylor. He's been forced to retire because of a very serious heart condition. Seems to be very similar to the one that affected Fabrice Muamba. Now, luckily, this was caught before anything happened on the pitch. And I know Fabrice has reached out to James to let him know his thoughts and to send him his best wishes. And he says his world is currently upside down. He's here to stay and battle on. These conditions, I mean, it's very important that we get the right research to spot these, isn't it? And can you explain a little bit more about this condition for us?
Yes. First of all, there are a group of conditions which can all, unfortunately, lead to a life-threatening abnormal heart rhythm, which is called ventricular fibrillation. Commonly people think of the heart as stopping. The heart doesn't actually stop. It goes into this very abnormal rhythm, which if it doesn't get corrected promptly can actually lead to death. Wow. Now, quite commonly when we describe the events back in 2012 with Fabrice Muamba, we say his heart stopped for over 70 minutes, I think it was. It hadn't actually stopped. It went into this rhythm, which meant that it wasn't performing its duty, which is to circulate blood around the body and specifically to the brain to maintain the person alive. But there are many conditions that can lead to that. I think some of them are more prevalent than others. Some of them are easier to identify during screening than others. There isn't, unfortunately, a screening device that can capture 100% of all these conditions in advance so that people can either be disqualified from professional sports or given a device which might keep them alive were they to go into this life-threatening rhythm.
I was going to say, when you're talking about this rhythm, just how common is this? How many people do you know that have got this?
Well, the statistics that we have in this country are based on there is a charity, a British charity called CRY, C-R-Y, which stands for Cardiac Risk in the Young. And they do a lot of screening around the country in an attempt to prevent events and death. And then they tell us it's somewhere in the region of a few hundred, so probably 500 or 600 events a year. The problem is we don't get to hear about these because some of these will be kids playing in the playground or doing PE. We only get to hear of the cases of well-known professional athletes, and people think it's a very, you know, it's an isolated event, one or two a year, but it's actually a few hundred every year.
Yeah, it's not just the athletes who obviously get this, is it? I mean, they're obviously in a privileged position to have their story a little bit more newsworthy. And as James was saying, you know, it could have been a viral infection that he thought he had. That's why he missed out on his pre-season fixtures. Obviously, if you're feeling unwell, you should go straight to your doctor. But when it could turn into something like this, how easy are the signs to spot with these kind of conditions?
Well, again, unfortunately, there aren't really specific signs. People may feel more fatigued than normal. They may feel a little bit more breathless. They will feel unwell. And they often obviously attribute it to a viral infection or I'm a bit under the weather. And I've come across athletes in the past who came to us through their coaches and said, you know, they're not performing that well in training. They're a little bit more tired. Their performance is dropping. And then on examination, there were some cardiovascular problems that they weren't aware of. So what I would urge athletes or anyone involved in sport to do is not to dismiss these symptoms as just being benign and reflective of a common cold or a viral infection, but rather take them more seriously. And if the symptoms persist for a few days and they feel more tired than normal, they feel their performance is dropping, they're a little bit more breathless, they should go to a sports doctor specifically, but maybe the GP as a first port of call to try and get some more investigations.
And when you look at Fabrice Muamba and what happened to him, obviously a lot of media attention was put on that. Have you noticed that this is something which is definitely more in the public eye now after that happened?
It is, and the good news is that more clubs are now employing the services of sports cardiologists or signing up with the charity I mentioned earlier, CRY, the Cardiac Risk in the Young, who can offer screening at very affordable prices, and they can actually come. They have mobile units. They can come to the the premises of a sports club and perform screening maybe once every year or once every 2 years as a preventive measure. It's always best to try and screen athletes and prevent events from happening rather than hoping that they will be lucky enough, as Fabrice Muamba was, to have like cardiologists and paramedics in the spectators to give them immediate support. That's not going to be the case in most of these events.
Yeah, it's trying to get everything checked beforehand, isn't it? Obviously, we saw when it comes to rugby league what happened with Danny Jones. I know his wife Lizzie does a lot of wonderful work trying to set up the Danny Jones Defibrillator Fund, which is getting a lot of resuscitation equipment put into rugby clubs, put into every single one of them, and checking these conditions, because again, that was just so innocuous. It is obviously, you know, essential to make sure that you are fully checked out before you're going to go on to any kind of athletic situation, really, isn't it?
It is, yes. There is a big dilemma, though, whether we should be screening all athletes or whether we should wait for symptoms or signs to alert us to a potential problem. If you screen everyone, and that's just any type of screening, health screening, whether it's cancer or heart disease, if you screen thousands and thousands of athletes, you will get a lot of what we call false positive tests. So people will fail a test, essentially, which indicates they may have this life-threatening condition. They will then go through a series of more invasive examinations and may eventually be proven to have nothing wrong with them. And so we have to balance the need to screen with the need to try and avoid sending people to their cardiologists unnecessarily, provoking a lot of expensive and invasive investigations. But where do you draw the line? And I haven't got an answer for that. The debate is ongoing. Some cardiologists are firmly in favor of screening everyone, all the professional athletes, and others are firmly against that. And it's not just simply economics. It's to do with the ethics of screening someone when there's nothing apparently wrong with them.
We always hear about these mysterious medicals that go on, and I think in Spanish football it's a lot more visible, really, because we see them sponsored by various private establishments for the likes of Real Madrid and whatnot. Do we think that this may be something that we could add to the medicals when a new player is being signed or being tested by a club?
It may be, yes, and I'm not sure what goes on in Spain, but I'm very familiar with what goes on in Italy. The Italian model is one that has been well-researched, and in Italy, professional athletes have to have a license, and in order to maintain their license, they have to have this test every 2 years. So they have an ongoing screening program for the last probably 30 years now. And they are the country with the most evidence that a screening program does actually work in reducing the number of deaths in sport, and not just professional sports, but sport in the playground, PE, you know, school sport as well. So there is the model in Italy, but it's very expensive. And to apply something like that in the UK through the NHS, it would probably bring the NHS to its knees.
Wow, that is a very, very interesting comment. I mean, I know you know, a few NHS workers myself are already talking about the amount of money that they don't have to spend in their hospitals or their services. Adding something like that, if you say bring it to the knees, that is absolutely unbelievable. Doctor, thank you so much for coming on today. Really appreciate it. And it's shedding a bit of extra light onto this situation. And we really do hope that James obviously manages to make a nice little recovery and an extra part of his career. The next door opens as one closes, as they all say.
Thank you very much for...